The words of God given to us today are Philippians chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. It is page 322 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Amen. David, who has been chased by Saul, became king of Hebronites and ruled the southern Judea region for 7.5 years. After Saul died, elders came to him from northern Israel and asked him to be their king. And Saul became the king of both south and north Israel. Moving the Ark of the Covenant of God to Jerusalem as well. More to that, he received the word of the promise, your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me, your throne will be established forever. This is why his dynasty looked like to be peaceful and last forever. David, however, did something that he shouldn't have done when walking on the rooftop of the palace, not in war. That not only made him suffer harsh pain in spiritual way, but also completely broke up his family relation with tragedy. His son Absalom rebelled against his father David, backed by the people, and occupied the David castle. He didn't admit his father and the king as they were. This is well testified in Samuel 2, chapter 15 to 19. Among them, chapter 17 has very dramatic scene. Absalom has an excellent strategist named Ahithophel. He was previously a servant of David, but took sides with Absalom after his rebellion. His strategy was so outstanding that David and Absalom took his advice as if a part of God's word. He made a suggestion to Absalom as follows. Get me 12,000 soldiers, then I will chase and attack exhausted David tonight. Then the people who followed him will run away and I'll cut off David's head. In this way, you will earn minds of the public. This was an excellent strategy for Absalom to become a perfect king. Absalom and most of his servants liked the strategy. But suddenly, Absalom wanted to listen to Hushai, a servant of David, who did not escape. Hushai was against the strategy for three reasons. First, It wasn't appropriate because soldiers with the king's father were so furious that the reckless attack would not be successful. Second, it wouldn't be easy to find them who might hide deep in a cave. And lastly, if even some of our soldiers could be killed by David, there might be a rumor that Absalom's soldiers were defeated. Therefore, he suggested to get all soldiers together and attack a place where David and his people might hide at once. In fact, this suggestion was targeted to have some time for David to run away while having soldiers got together, so didn't make sense in the first place. But Absalom followed the strategy of Hushai, not Ahithophel. Samuel 2, chapter 17, verse 14 tells the reason as follows. Absalom and all the men of Israel said, "The advice of Hushai the Archite is better than that of Ahithophel. For the Lord had determined to frustrate the good advice of Ahithophel in order to bring disaster on Absalom." That was in David's favor, not Absalom's. Hushai went to the priest Zadok and Abiathar to ask to tell what has happened so far and let someone talk to David to escape. So Zadok and Abiathar sent their son Ahimaaz and Jonathan. Usually, they used to send messages in a way that they send a message to a girl in the castle, and the girl let David know. But this time, it was found before the message was delivered. Therefore, the two men hid in a well in a house of a village of Bahurim. And then a woman, the owner of the house, covered the well and put grains on it. Soon, soldiers of Absalom asked her, "Where is Ahimaaz and Jonathan?" She answered, "They went across the town." After the soldiers went back, the two men from the well went to David and told the truth, and David and his people successfully crossed the Jordan. Seeing his strategy failed, Ahithophel went to his hometown and hung himself. The Bible doesn't tell what the name of the woman who covered the well and helped Ahimaaz and Jonathan was. The woman might know who Ahimaaz and Jonathan were. If she knew they were sons of the priests, that woman would have been a faithful believer of God. All of them were connected to God and became the gateway to God's work. Acts chapter 23 also testifies a man who was used as a gateway of God. When arriving at Jerusalem from the third mission trip, Apostle Paul was arrested on the ground that he defamed the church by radical Jews. The Jews who were eager to kill Apostle Paul successfully brought Paul to the commanders of thousands from the church. But they took Paul to the Jerusalem council when failing to accomplish their will at Paul's saying, "I am a Roman citizen." And when Paul said, "I am a Pharisee and a son of Pharisee," it triggered a fight among Sadducees and Pharisees. They again failed to meet their intent. However, they didn't give up. There were as many as 40 people who made their mind not to eat or drink before Apostle Paul was killed. They explained their plan to murder Paul at the Jerusalem Council. At the time, according to the Jewish law, someone who threatens the life and moral of the public can be killed. They thought Paul threatened their faith and believed to kill Paul was the right thing. They went to the priests and elders and secretly said, "Ask the commanders to bring Paul here," pretending to question more about what Paul did. "And then we'll kill him before he gets here." At the time when this plot was made, a man who was used by God was testified in Acts 23:16 as follows. "But when the son of Paul's sister heard of this plot, he went into the barracks and told Paul." The plot was known by Paul's nephew. As God saved David's life through a nameless woman who covered the wall, he saved Paul through Paul's nephew. The commander who heard about the plot made by the Jews ordered as follows in Acts chapter 23, verse 23 and 24. "Then he called two of his centurions and ordered them, 'Get ready a detachment of 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, and 200 spearmen to go to Caesarea at 9 tonight.'" The commander decided to send Paul to Caesarea, where the Roman governors resided. At the time, Jerusalem was under Caesarea. The commander wanted for the governor of Caesarea to deal with this incident, as he knew this was out of his authority. But the commander mobilized 200 soldiers, 70 horses, and 200 spearmen for one prisoner. There were 470 soldiers and 70 horses and an animal to give Paul a ride, ready to protect him. This was rare, even these days, to mobilize these many soldiers for one prisoner. Well, Osama bin Laden equivalent prisoner might be escorted by such many soldiers. To protect Paul, God led such many soldiers to guard him. Then 40 people who determined not to eat or drink before they killed Paul might be dead of hunger or thirsty.
바울의 생질에 이름도 나오지 않고 성경에는 이 사도행전 23장에만
The name of Paul's nephew was unknown and he appears only in Acts chapter 23.
어떤 경로로 통해서
We don't know if he originally lived in Jerusalem or just stayed there to study or work, or how he knew about the plot that his uncle could be killed. But he must have seen all that Paul circumcised in 8 days after birth, that the family got promise of God through generations, that he was born as a son of Benjamin, born and raised in Tarso, but proud of himself that he was taken care of by a family who speak Hebrew and educated in synagogue, that all he wanted to do was live as a Pharisee, to persecute churches and to keep the law, and how that Paul changed when he met Jesus on the way to Damascus. Uncle Paul would say, knowing laws is the noblest thing, but now confessed to know God, Jesus Christ, who came to such terrible person like him, is the noblest thing in the world. Seeing Uncle Paul's 20 years life of devotion, the nephew might have an echo deep inside, and that echo would have been used as a gateway of God's work. Today's scripture also testifies a person whose name was unknown but preciously used by God. People of Philippi church were very lovely and missed. They were those who were considered by us to be the crown, even though we cannot earn the crown from God in the end of the road. And that's why Apostle Paul had a wish for Philippians. Most of all, what he wished for them who believe that the citizenship is in heaven and longed for the coming of Jesus Christ was to stand firm in the Lord. To stand firm is important in sports games as well. People say that the tennis or a table tennis is a game using our feet, not hands. Some of you might wonder because those are sports games played with rackets. But how well played depends on the feet that can move fast enough to position in best place to hit the ball. I said previously that to stand firm is a military word to indicate a posture of soldiers who protected their post from the enemy. If not stand firm in one's life and faith, we cannot live a life waiting for Jesus Christ and win the earthly Roman values. And we cannot stand firm in our own way. This is why we should stand firm in the Lord. God is the only one who lets us to stand firm and stands firm by himself for eternity so we can stand firm if in the Lord. 주 예수 그리스도를 The second attitude that people who wait for the Lord should have, and Apostle Paul sincerely wanted Philippians to have, is to agree with each other in the Lord. The two women, Euodia and Syntyche, failed to have such attitude. They might be in rivalry to do better. If they sought to spread the teaching of gnomism, which argues to follow the law to be saved, or Gnosticism, which denies Jesus, who came on earth as a human, the Bible would have told that watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh, as in chapter 3, verse 2, or their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame, their mind is on earthly things. These two women are deemed to have devoted themselves too much to take care of their faith and looked as if they were not in the Lord. To check if you are in harmony and to agree with others, you should first check yourself as in the Lord. If you are not in the Lord, our selfishness would not let us to agree with each other, even though it might be seen we agree with each other for some moments. As Apostle Paul thought unfortunate for Euodia and Syntyche were not on the same page, he asked a man to help two women, and the verse 3 testifies, "Yes, I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life." We ask a person who is called as you, loyal yoke fellow. We don't know what life this person has lived and what faith this person has had. But they would be those who fit the most in the kingdom of God, which made of outstanding devotion of ordinary people. In addition, these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel would definitely mean Euodia and Syntyche. Apostle Paul asked loyal yoke fellow to help Euodia and Syntyche. To understand this more clearly, we can refer to the New American Standard Bible. Indeed, true companion, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Euodia and Syntyche worked hard with Paul to spread the gospel. To have content in Hebrew is shinethleo, which combines shin, meaning together, and athleo, meaning to race. An English word, athletics, came from this. And this word is in Philippians 1:27 as well. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. To cooperate is shinasleo, the same as to contend with. The ancient times, battles were fought by the soldiers of the two sides, each forming a single line. That is shinasleo. In addition, in American football, the teams form scrum not to get pushed back by the other side. Thus, also is shinasleo. So it appears that Euodia and Syntyche may have taught the Bible and discussed the matters concerning the mission with Paul, not just taking care of the kitchen of the Philippi church. But these two women, although we do not know what caused it, heard each other and were unable to be of the same mind. Paul says, even so, that their names are written in the book of life. This means that those who are written in the book of life should not live like that, be agree with each other. That one's name is recorded in the book of life is very precious thing. Christians often read the Bible but find it difficult. And one of the passages that they don't like to read are the family trees that appear in the Bible. Some names are even difficult to pronounce. But still, it feels bad to just skip over them. And you do read it, except that you decide to just read it without paying attention. You read it with your eyes, but you don't remember at all what you read the minute your eyes leave it. This is because you feel that the family trees don't have anything to do with you. I went to New York in 2005. The place I really wanted to see was Ground Zero, where the World Trade Towers had collapsed. I made the time to go see it. There, the names of 2,792 people who had died because of the 9/11 terror were recorded under the title, The Heroes of 9/11. At memorial events of 9/11, the names of these people were called one by one. If you think, why call the names of all these people? Then you are someone who has nothing to do with this list. A person who lost a family because of 9/11 terror will feel an electric current passing the body when the name of the beloved husband or wife, the son or the daughter, the mother or the father is called. I attended 5 graduation ceremonies through elementary school, middle school, high school, college, and seminary. I never once saw, though, the names of all the graduates being called. Of course, my name was never called. Although I was not an outstanding student, the graduation certificate, which has my name on it, contains all my efforts and sweats shed during the 6, 3, 3, 4, and 3 years. To the person who is handing out the certificate, it may just be paper. But at least to me, it is more than that. I often take a close look at the list of the names of our church members. Each time I think, How did this person come to attend our 100th anniversary memorial church? What stories are behind them coming to this place? Each of their names contains his or her life and faith. Jesus, knowing that he had not much time left in this world, sent out 70 people in pairs and commanded them to preach about the kingdom of God. The disciples who came back excitedly reported that, "Lord, even demons surrender to us in your name." The Lord said this at that time. This is from Luke 10:20. "However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." There is no joy in this world which is greater than our names being recorded in heaven. No matter how much you have, what great accomplishments were achieved, and how excellent you are, it is nothing compared to your name being recorded in heaven. Gaining the whole world is nothing compared to your name being recorded in heaven. Paul is heartbroken that Euodia and Syntyche, who should enjoy such enormous blessing, cannot be of the same mind. The person to whom the Apostle Paul asked to play the role of a mediator between these two is you, my true companion. Some people think that this person may be his wife. But if Paul had worked together with his wife, he surely would have mentioned her at least once in his letters. And some people think this person could be Epaphroditus, who was mentioned earlier, but this is unlikely that Paul would have referred to someone this way who had been mentioned by name. A yoke is a wooden contraption that is placed on the necks of oxen in order to pull a cart or a plow. When two oxen left is called the anso, and one
anso. 중심이 되어서 제 역할을 잘 하게 되면 훨씬 많은 일을 해낼 수 있습니다. 소 한 마리 흔히 홀이라고 말하기도 하고
well, then the two can do a lot. If one ox can till 500 평 a field by pulling a plow.
결이가 갈면
it is said that the two oxen can till about 2,000 pyeong of field. We don't know who Paul's companion is. But like a pair of oxen, one person is serving the Lord in the prison of Rome, while the other is serving the Lord at Philippi. When I go to the kingdom of God, I want to meet the woman who covered the well, the nephew of Paul, and also this person who served together with Paul. I want to ask how it was possible to live such a life. If Paul had a companion who took on the yoke with him, we also have someone who took on the yoke with us. and who is the answer of our yokes. Chapter 11, verses 28 to 30 of Matthew testify as follows. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Are the burdens of life heavy? Isn't life, which seems to go around an endless circle? When you feel like the yoke of your life is pressing down on you, look around. You will discover the Lord who is carrying the yoke with you. You will come to know that the Lord will provide comfort when you are full of sorrows and at times pour His grace on us so that our thirsty souls will gain strength. And His words are making us strong. So we will be able to live the life that He has permitted us. And if we do not forget that He is our eternal home, the answer, although we may not become someone like King David or Paul, we can become someone like the woman who covered the well, someone like Paul's nephew. At that time, the Lord will say this to us, "You, my companion." Let us pray. Father God, we do not know the name of the woman who covered the well in which Ahimaaz and Jonathan hid when David was in danger. We do not know the name of Paul's nephew who told the Roman commander when Apostle Paul's life was being threatened. And we also do not know the person to whom the Paul asked to help to have Euodia and Syntyche to be of same mind, a companion of Paul. But we want to be like them. Please allow us to be tied to you in the same way that these people were tied to you. Help us to confirm that you have taken on the yoke together with us. Because you have become our eternal resting place, we were able to come this far, although we had nothing to show for, we were unrefined. May taking on the yoke with you become our joy, the subject of our thanksgiving. And so, may we not only do our best with the life you have given us, but also become resting place for other people, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.